From high above First Street South in Working, Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy, I too make nice games. This week, we're back to the drawing board for another Nice Thinking, where one of your nice hosts, or a nice guest, brings an idea into the clubhouse to workshop on air. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start. It's the second time we're trying this.
Yeah.
This episode, we're going to think about stuff.
Yeah, yes,
as
together.
Opposed to the last episode where we thought about stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah.
So for listeners who didn't hear the first time we tried this, Nice Thinking is a little bit like a Nice Games Jam, but instead of making a game, we bat around an idea. Something that we bring to the table rather than, you know, invent in the moment.
Yes.
Right. What did we talk about in the last Nice Thinking?
We talked about, what was the name of the googly-eyed garbage can?
Oh,
it had a fun
giblets.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It
giblets.
Was,
I think it was giblets.
Yeah. The idea for, like, finding people, ways for, game-like ways for people to clean up more.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you any update on that thinking since then?
It's an episode and you can listen to it.
So, no.
No.
And I mean, that kind of is the point in a lot of ways, is we want to have something that we can bring in just to kind of move it down the field, not necessarily to bring it to market.
Yeah.
But this time, it's something that is actually going to happen very soon. And I need this.
Okay.
Logistically, not just emotionally.
Right. Both, in fact. This is, longtime listeners know that we used to record the show, at Glitch. They had a space there that we were able to use, and that was a great home for the show. It's what got us started.
Yeah.
That went away, prior to the pandemic, but during the pandemic as well, we had to adapt. And so, we recorded the show remotely. We did, record in my kitchen for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, I think, before the pandemic struck. And we always figured, well, we're going to have to figure this out. But then when the pandemic struck, we had another problem.
Right.
And so we recorded everything remotely. And listeners know we've been now back in person in my home office. So just, you know, not very far from the kitchen for the past, it's been a month, maybe 2 months. How long is it? It's been a while
it's
now.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been going nice. But this was always meant to be temporary. And so what we're going to do is I am opening up an office for my company, Noble Robot. Now, my company is just me and contractors from a time, or in the case of Widget Satchel, Steven and Ellen and others worked on the game and have ownership of the project.
Yeah.
But it's produced and distributed under my company, Noble Robot. So it's just an organizing document, essentially. It's not much more than that. It's a bank account too, I guess. I'm going to be opening up an office space as sort of a co-working office space. So I'm going to be working from there, and Steven and Ellen are also going to be working from there on their own day jobs. We're going to get a couple other people and fill out the space with creative folks from the game making community, from the artist community, from software developers, just the kind of folks that make sense for the little community we want to build in this space. So this has been something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And it's now finally happening. The lease has been signed. By the time you listen to this episode, we will have moved in. Mm. But I wanted to talk a lot about what to do with the space, how to run it, what kind of things to do for it, what are the ambitions do we have for it? Because it's kind of difficult to run a space like that when also I need to work on my own things. Right. I also need to work on my side projects.
Yep.
We need to produce the show. We're going to be recording the show from there in a new clubhouse studio, which is great. Mm. I kind of want a little more for the space, but also I need to understand what my capacity is.
Yeah.
Ah.
Because even though it's a place for, in a lot of ways, the two of you are like really a big part of it for me. But at the same time, I'm the one who has the responsibility for it. And so I can't, there's a lot of things about running it or managing it that I can't put on either of you or any of the other people who are going to be renting desks from me.
Sure.
So I need to make sure that there's some expectations managed. And, you know, anytime you go into business with your friends, and that's not exactly what this is, but it's close, right? Mm. So there needs to be a lot of things thought of in advance. I don't, anything unsaid can bubble over, and that can be dangerous to to working relationships and just proper relationships. So that's a fear I have. But also, I want to, you know, there's, it's not just that. It's also, man, we could do so much with this space.
Yeah, it's a whole space.
And I want to think a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So maybe to start out with, because I've been doing all, kind of nothing but thinking about this for the past month.
Yeah.
I want to hear the two of you talk about what you think it's going to be like and what you would, maybe some ideas of what you would like it to be for the show, for you in the work that you do, and as a community, perhaps.
I just want to say I really like it when I get to feel important, and it, that feeling doesn't come with any responsibility on my part. So thank you for that.
Happy, happy to help.
to answer Mark's question, I guess the way I've been imagining it is, I have been, well, I don't know. It's been kind of an adjustment, like, you know, getting this new job and like it being proper remote.
Yeah. This is really solving a problem for you.
It is solving a problem for me, but I also am starting to grow like, accustomed to working remotely.
Yeah.
But like I still need to interact with people regularly, so like I think it will help a lot. I guess what I want from the office and what I'm looking most forward to is just being able to interact with people in person regularly, mm-hmm. during the week, without it being just like a scheduled thing where we do a thing, you know?
Right.
That'll be good. So I guess that's what I want from it now. That's what I'm imagining from it now. So maybe like, I don't know, y'all can get people to watch Star Trek and I can just be there, or I don't know, or we could just have like a game night or something, we just play board games or video game together, like that'd be neat.
Yeah, one of the things about being together in a space, and it's what's interesting about this, is like you can co-work with folks in order to work together on something,
yeah,
and that's not necessarily the aim. I think the folks we bring in might be 2-3 person teams every now and again, I suppose. Yeah. But I'm kind of thinking a lot about the three of us, how we are all working on separate things with remote teams, and how we can just create an energy together. So that's the kind of person I'm imagining. And so what you're describing is, yeah, maybe if two people are on the couch taking a break from their own work, watching a movie or something, mm-hmm. in the afternoon,
yeah.
and I'm in the corner working, I really like that.
Yeah,
I like that energy. Mm-hmm. I like, even if I have my headphones in, like there's just something about that can make you feel, one, like you're really at a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But also then it gives you the opportunity to, you don't have to schedule those sort of like little social rejuvenations that come from a workplace culture. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of conversation about like people going back to the office and how that benefits employers. Because they can monitor employees and keep track of people. Yeah. But I think not enough of that conversation is about what you actually do lose. Because you do, mm-hmm. gain so much when, mm-hmm. you work from home.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, in a lot of ways, a lot of mental health advantages, mm-hmm. from controlling your own schedule, from being able to manage your direct interactions with your coworkers, rather than have to have it sort of come up randomly when you're not expecting it. But I think there is also a lot of things that you lose from not being able to just live amongst others, right? And so because we all are working remotely, independently, you know, we're mostly looking at the downsides because it's not necessarily... Well, Ellen, for you, it's more of a change because you transitioned over into this contractor role.
Yeah.
So I want to hear, because you found a balance working at home, but it's still kind of new. And you were talking a little bit about splitting your time up. Like, how are you imagining?
So the things that I'm doing for work can often change a lot from week to week, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, one week I might do a lot of meetings because I'm consulting and doing, kind of design, mini design workshops and asking, like subject matter experts, okay, what if we made a scenario about this and what would the details need to be for that? And,
yeah.
And so I might have a lot of calls one week, but then usually I take the information I gather from those meetings and those calls, and they might be meetings with clients, they might be meetings with teammates, and then I'll take it all back to the workshop where I actually have to do the design and the writing for the instructional experiences that we're creating. And the writing needs to be like blinders on. I need to have space. I need to be able to get up and walk around and not be distracted. That is difficult to do at home because there are dogs and a backyard and my whole fridge and chores that I'm responsible for, you know, like,
yeah.
So it's
that flexibility can be distracting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's nice for like for a week where I have a lot of meetings. I'm not usually trying to work in writing time between meetings because it's just a completely different headspace and it's just not worth my time or energy to try to switch back and forth between those two.
Yeah.
So I try to batch meetings and I try to batch writing and design and those three things I try to do in chunks in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But switching between the, you know, task switching costs efficiency, and I really feel that that cost whenever I have to pay it. So I'm thinking, you know, I'll probably try to come into the office when I have like a good chunk of like non-meeting work to do.
Yeah.
You know, because we can do meetings at the office. You know, we're gonna have that separate room, and
right.
I'm sure it'll be okay. I mean, I hope it'll be okay if like I take a call at my desk or whatever, as long as we're not screaming. Yeah.
Yep.
But that doesn't happen often.
Yeah. You know, I think all of us have meetings with our our teams. They'll be remotely.
Mm.
And so it'll be kind of a feeling it out kind of thing, because we'll have the clubhouse, which will serve as a conference room for folks, right?
Right.
We're going to set it up also so you can plug into the screen and webcam there if you don't want to just use your laptop. Because we'll be needing it for interviewing folks,
right.
Because we want to continue doing our remote interviews. Yep. But, well, we are in person, so we want a space that accommodates for that. And so it would also be kind of a remote conference room for client meetings or for staff meetings or whatever. But also the building itself has a separate conference room. So we're pretty much always good if you need a private space. But at the same time, part of me is like, well, we can have a culture of meetings at your desk. Like, that's fine. We'll have headphones or we'll hear, you know, but I don't know. That'll be something we'll feel out a little
bit. We'll have to. And I'm glad you actually mentioned that, because I don't really think, I mean, I thought a little bit about it, but I haven't really been in the space yet, and I know that I'll set something up and then I'm going to want to change it in a couple weeks after I get a better feel for it. So I'm deliberately like not thinking about it too much as far as how I'm going to use my, like, the space for my individual needs, because I am going to start somewhere and start using it, and then I will have more specific ideas about what will actually work for me.
That's interesting. I've done so many floor plan sketches and where's the fridge going to go? And like stuff like that. I've been doing a lot of that. And in fact, where's the wall going to go? Because the clubhouse recording space is being built specifically for us by the landlord, which is part of the enticement to move in, is that they have a budget to improve the space.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got to direct some of that. So I've done a lot of thinking about that, but I also have not thought about my desk, which is for kind of the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of don't want to get too attached to an idea of something like, I'm going to be in this corner, or I'm going to be, you know, this is how much space or whatever I'm going to do, or this is where I'm going to put my bike. Like, I haven't really thought about that completely, because I want to just let it evolve in a sense.
Sure.
And it's been nerve wracking because it's so close now.
Yeah.
And so I have to stop myself from starting to think about, like, no, in 12 days, you can figure all this stuff out. You'll have way more information to figure some of this stuff out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have thought the same thing. Like, I have a really, really nice setup at home that really works for me. There are maybe some things I'd still want to optimize. Like, I have a kind of it's a standing desk. I can just stand. And then when I want to sit, I sit on a stool.
Mm-hmm.
The stool that I got, it looks pretty cool, but it's really not comfortable. So I've been kind of looking through the Herman Miller site. They have ergonomic stools.
Ooh.
Based on their ergonomic chair models.
Like, how does that work?
It's a chair, but it's taller.
Oh, okay.
Is that kind of where you hook your leg under it, or
it's got like
steady, or?
Yeah. So it's got, well, we can link to it in the show notes. Some of the ones that I've been looking at. I don't know if they have an Embody. I'm pointing at the chairs in Mark's office because he's got Embody chairs, and Dale has one too, and they're really nice and they're very comfy. I don't think they have an Embody stool version. Maybe they do, but they have a few of their other signature chairs. Mm. They do have stool versions, and so it's the same
thing.
Same like chair,
and
armrests and things, but they have like a longer whatever you call the bottom part of it.
Yeah,
that you aren't sitting on, you know,
the stem. Post,
the stem. Yeah, I guess. And then they also have a little bar for your feet that you can adjust.
Yeah,
and I really, really like having that, because I feel like the world isn't quite built in my size. So like right now, my feet are on the floor, but not it doesn't, like, not in a way that my knees are at a comfortable angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, and so I like, I'm kicking my legs a lot and my feet are on my toes. And it's, so I have found over the years that I'm more comfortable when I'm using a stool and a taller desk that I can choose to stand or then like pull my stool up and choose to sit.
Yeah.
Almost like a lap setup or something.
Yeah.
Or drafting table or whatever. And I like that setup at home, but when I'm writing, I really like to sit down.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about maybe making that the plan for the office space is having like a nice chair that I can sit on, that I can sit on.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting a standing desk thing.
Yeah.
Too, well, like, I was going to ask about that because one of the things that we've had to do, Dale's been helping me a lot planning this and she's going to help me run it, but I don't want to burden her too much with a lot of this stuff. But of course she's been invaluable because she always is. We thought a lot about like how, what are we going to buy for everyone and what are we going to have people bring in?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a certain like, if I get office chairs for everyone, they're going to all be kind of crappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my thinking is everyone will bring in their own office chair. Now that's a burden on people, but then they can decide how much they want to invest in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now when it comes to something like a standing desk, we're building the desks. So none of them are standing desks right now. But is that something people are going to want as an option? Can we provide that either as, they have those standing desk adapters, which are just things you put on your desk mm-hmm. to make it taller? Mm-hmm. Or do we have like, because we got a lot of IKEA stuff. Do we go and get the adjustable legs from IKEA, which are out of stock, like everything they have is out of stock?
Oh.
On standby if someone wants to modify theirs for that purpose. And I there's some things about like, because it's a co-working space, but I don't want to run it like a business. I want to have as much as automated as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to know, what are the things I need to, that are going to be, that I can be inflexible on so I don't have to worry about it at all? And what are the things I need to adapt or provide options for people so that it doesn't turn them away from the space? If that makes sense.
I see.
Like Steven, if you wanted to sort of set up a standing desk, like what would that look like for you?
Oh, I was just thinking about getting a thing to put on a desk and then have it transition up and down.
There are some cheap IKEA hacks for doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't want to have to turn the table or the chair or the table over and, you know, put in new legs every time I want to stand.
Yeah. Yeah. They have the like crank ones that go up and down. Yeah. IKEA even sells one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm like. Cause, gotcha. There was a period of time when in my old office, where we were like working in a lunchroom area thing. And I was like on a stool and a table and it was really easy for me to just like, if I wanted to stand, I just get off the stool and then, cause the table was so high up.
Oh yeah.
And I kind of want that option, but like, I imagine I'm not going to have that option at a regular desk. So like if I have one that I could just go up, then I could just go up and stand.
And then you'd have kind of like what I was saying for my setup, you're standing and then if you want to sit down, you just pull up a stool. And
I can do that. Or like if I could just get a regular chair too, then I could just move the whole desk up and then type. Because like I'm just planning on having my laptop.
Yeah, because it sounds like you're looking for something that you can mode shift.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a couple of different ways to do that. You can have adjustable legs that has a dial or a motor.
Yeah.
Those are getting more affordable. Mm-hmm. Or you could have something that goes on the desk that sort of is like a scissor lift, goes up and down.
But
some of them are a little more convenient than others.
But ultimately what I'm saying is I was planning on doing that for myself in the future. I wasn't expecting you to like help me do that.
Well, so. But that's the thing. If you want to do that, then like, where does that desk go? If you bring in your own desk, so like there's logistical stuff. Yeah, okay. We have some storage space and we have some options, but also desks will go together in pods and, mm-hmm. How much do I need to care about things fitting together? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what if the desk you bring in is 4 inches longer and it doesn't quite fit with the other ones? Yeah. Like, there's really, that's an easy problem to just solve, but is it going to look nice? Like, do I care? Like, I kind of have to decide some of those things. Maybe that's sort of a, as we go, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to, I want to set some sort of rules and expectations so that we don't have to have a lot of these conversations. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a case where if I change my mind later, I don't want anyone to feel they were treated unfairly.
Sure.
You know?
Well, this depends on how much you want to think of it in this way, because ultimately you're responsible for the office, right?
Yeah.
But like maybe we can have like house meetings or whatever.
Like, like a ruling committee.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Okay. Yeah, we could start running this sort of like a co-op. But we can't exactly, we can't run it like a co-op exactly, because you we can own it, right?
Well, you but, know, I, but it can still work. It can be okay. a case of like, hey, like, anyone have thoughts or opinions or discussions?
Yeah.
And just as long as everyone knows, like, I decide crap, it's yeah, mine, you know, yeah. whatever. Like, I think that can work.
Okay.
Because, I mean, and that requires me to make sure that it's very, that I'm making it clear that I'm listening to everybody.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, I guess it's difficult because then ultimately, if I'm just going to decide something that nobody else wants, you know, if there's something that comes up like that, people have to be okay with that as a possibility.
Yeah.
And I have to be okay with like triggering that
yeah.
thing.
Well, as long as that's the expectations from the beginning, like it's the way that you're talking about it is the office space is like a scrum project and you are the product owner.
Yeah.
The buck stops with you. Mm-hmm. Everyone has input. You're asking for everyone's input, but like you own the thing.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the things about that that I think will hopefully help, and I do sometimes feel like I'm just being too nervous about all of this stuff, I also want to make it very clear, like, this is the rent I'm paying. This is how much is being covered by everybody's things. This yeah. is how much I'm still in the hole. Like, just to kind of give people a context for when people say, like, hey, can we do this sort of thing?
Yeah.
And I could be like, well, let's think about it. But then when I say, no, we can't, it's because, like, you know, I don't have the time or money for it.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as the more open I can be about all that stuff, because... that's another thing that I hadn't said yet is, and I think the two of you know this already, is that this will not be a profitable enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible that it could be. Mm. We can fill all the desks and have a couple of part-time folks and rent out the studio space to podcasts and basically break even. And I'm okay with that because if we get a couple of people in there, then the leftover cost is basically the cost of my desk.
Right.
I just have a really expensive desk. I think it's two or three times as much as everyone else. But I'm okay with that because that seems worth it to me. From what I want from it. But as long as I'm really open about all of that, I'd like to think that will make it easier to the relationship with everybody. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, there being at least helps me if there are reasons for why this thing is happening.
Yeah. Right?
If someone is just like, this is happening and they don't give a reason, then I'm like, why? Why do I have to deal with this thing I don't want?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's transparency.
Yeah.
And that's always been any other like a job or a place or any kind of institution that I've been part of in the past that has had trouble. Mm. It's always been about that communication.
Yeah.
The lack of communication.
Yeah.
And so I'm like almost. I don't expect I'm overcorrecting, but I'm really thinking about it a lot in a way that I'm like, sometimes I just be like, people don't care that much. It's fine. But I'm always thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm very nervous about that.
Well, you can like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. You could put like either a Trello board together or, you know, like a sprint review, retro page, and maybe have like a whiteboard that actually is like a sprint with like a Kanban board.
Yeah.
That's about just like, the space stuff.
Yeah.
So if you know you have a backlog and if someone has an issue, like that goes in the backlog. Mm-hmm. Or and then maybe that's where you take your chores that are you know volunteers take care of. There's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
But I think your instincts are right that transparency is the big piece.
Yes.
And also accessibility in terms of like you're going to be around and people who, if they have questions or concerns or gripes,
yeah.
they can come to you. Either you're going to be around as opposed to like office spaces I've been in part of. They're just not around. You can't get a hold of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of a built-in advantage that I'm working there.
For us, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. but also then I know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we talked about this off mic. Like, I'm going to have to develop some hours, which is a little new to me.
you might get like regular sleep.
It's actually a motivator for me in a sense. Like, I feel like I'm trying to make it so that if I can't make that work, that if I'm going to have my crazy hours, that it still can survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would like to be able to keep like a 10 to 6 kind of you know working hours and this space can help me motivate me to do that. One, so that I'm around everybody else at the time that they're there, which is kind of great.
Yeah.
But also if we have people who rent desks and get keys, that's fine. But if we do a secondary source of income, which is people who have like access to the space who can work on the couch or in the clubhouse during office hours, they don't get a key, but they can come in whenever they want, then I need to make sure that there's times I could promise that the space will be open, which is basically when I am there.
Yeah.
When other people are there, they can come, but those people aren't responsible for being there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Steven, you are an early riser. You're going to get there before us every day.
Yeah.
but I'm not going to ask you to open the place up.
Right.
You know, like people can come in if they have, you know, access
yeah.
when you're there. But they can't count on you.
Well, yeah, right. And if I don't know the person, I'm not gonna let them in, right?
Yeah, right.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, I don't, that seems yeah. bad.
I will do the same. I will not let people in if I don't know them.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'll ask about it. Like, if somebody's in here and like, Mark said I could do this thing, I'd be like, oh, but you might not be up.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I guess it's fine.
We'll have a Facebook, as they used to be called, of like all the people who can show up, you know what I mean?
Oh, I was like, don't put me back on there.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. That's not what you meant.
Yeah.
No, but that, so, you know, having a sort of a roster of folks, and you know, it'll never grow that large.
No.
But, you know, the idea of like having a secondary access rate, which would be a lot cheaper, and the hours I can guarantee would be narrow enough that it isn't going to be worth that much, you know, and it can't be a lot of expectations there. But, you know, and people can come by once a week or once every other week or whatever, because that cost won't be so much that you have to come every day. But we can find a level for that where we could maybe 20 people could be part of that group. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's reasonable, depending on people's schedules or whatever. We might have to put a cap on it or something so the place doesn't get crowded. And if not everyone has a desk to sit at, then what are they gonna, you know, what's the space worth to them?
Yeah.
But there'll be like one or two of the desks which will just be open that those folks can use. And then there'll be, you know, couch in the clubhouse when it's not being used for other purposes. People can have their laptops or whatever. I would like that in part to build community, to build space, and to have people who don't have they don't have the funds necessarily. Like they're putting together their first game as a side project, and they have a day job or whatever, but they, you know, they want to come in on evenings or weekends or something. I suppose, you know, whenever hours are, I guess, to match up, that's a whole other issue, I guess. But have some kind of compatibility, but don't have a lot of money to spend to make it like a full time thing. But I don't know how much to devote to that as a goal for the space, because that's going to take more management, more managing people, more managing schedules, also making sure the place is safe and people's stuff is secure. And there's a lot of trust involved in something like that.
Yeah. My initial thinking on that is maybe we think about that at a future date when we've been in the space long enough.
Just kind of like wait for a while.
Well, because then we'll have an opinion on those kinds of things. I mean,
that's a really good point.
I think that like we've been thinking about it for a while, and I speaking for everybody here, I guess I feel like we're on board with like having random people coming in every once in a while, just because like, you know, there's more people in the space and it makes it feel more lively.
Yes.
But yeah, like all of those things you're bringing up, like those are things that we really don't have a good idea on at the moment, and we don't know how much work it will take in just managing the three of us. So
and the other folks, but like the other thing too is after a few months, a lot of the things that you are going to have to spend like brain power on at the beginning will become like second nature to you.
Oh, yes. That's a really good point.
So you won't have to spend, you'll have freed up more mind power, mental brain power. Whoa, I must be getting hungry. brain power to push the space in new directions, because you will have kind of like automated, or at least those other things have become more habitual.
Yeah, the only pressure against that idea of like giving it some time is the fact that the sooner we could establish that, the more financially viable it becomes,
right?
More or less of a cost it is for me. I think I think it's probably worth it to hold off at least for a month or two,
until
we kind of know what the shape of the place is.
Yeah, like, you don't want to wait for a year, but like if you give it a month,
Even still, I you know, like I said, I'm not running it like a standard co-working space. It's not just if you've got the money, you can show up.
Yeah.
Like, but it's also not like a lengthy application process or anything. Right. But to start out, it's going to be people I know and ask if they're interested, right?
Yeah.
For the most part. Maybe it's a little bit outside that network. But really starting out with a group of trusted folks. And I think that will probably hold true for a while. Partly because I don't want to... A little expectation, again.
Yeah.
If I don't want it to be a commercial product in that same way. I want it to understand that this is a thing I'm doing, and it's, you know, you can join in, and you know me, and I know you enough to know, and if you have concerns, you can come to me, and it doesn't have to be a big process. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, we'll take the trash out every week, but like you're not going to get the services that you get from a proper co-working space, and so I don't want to set those expectations.
Yeah.
And so. It's tough because it's double-sided a little bit there, because I also don't want it to just be like, it's just a bunch of friends hanging out. because I think that by that way leads madness.
Yeah.
In the end, right?
Yeah.
It needs to
for
have
sure these friends. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, before the two of you move in, we will have contracts specifically set out so that, because I have to protect our friendships.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's more important to me than the ease of just getting it going. Even though we all trust each other,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the same conversation people have when they make games, right? And we did that on Widget Satchel. We waited quite mm-hmm. a while before we did the contracts on that. It was mostly like verbal agreements and over email. That was good enough.
Yeah.
Right. I think this is maybe a little different, or rather it's an opportunity to just get ahead of it this time. Just to less of a risk of any concerns.
Yeah.
Because there's more dimensions to this than there is to just, you know.
Yeah.
To working on a project necessarily. There's a lot more details, really, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep. Yeah. Does that help you feel a little bit more comfortable with the space?
In terms of like folks in the space, I like that doing it in stages.
Okay.
I think that does make a lot of sense.
Cool.
That feels pretty good. So the next topic, I guess, would be, I mean, I guess those are all the fears. There's more, but that's all we can really, we don't need to list them all out. Mm. And listeners will be talking about this on the show quite a bit as we move forward, I imagine. But let's talk about the hopes. Let's talk about the show first.
Okay.
We're going to be recording in a space again. And Ellen, this is going to be great for you because it'll be the first time you've had this.
Yeah, the only time I've recorded in a space in the past is when I was a guest.
Yeah.
Or like a host for like one episode or something. Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. We're gonna have sort of the video conference set up, so we'll be able to do more remote guests when we're in person.
Oh, cool.
There's gonna be some setup for that, so listeners probably won't be hearing those episodes right away as we move into the new space. We may still even do a fully remote episode or two with remote guests as we get the kinks of that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be set up. Is there anything? I mean, I kind of just, we're just gonna go back to doing the show at a desk in a space. I don't know that there's much else to think about.
I have something that I want from it. My voice carries through each of y'all's microphones.
Yeah.
Too much because I'm too loud and I can't, I'm not very good at tracking my volume.
Yeah.
So I would like some way.
Proper soundproofing.
Yeah.
So will not be a problem. Ellen is holding her hands out in front of the microphone.
It's coming from Mark's side.
Yeah, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, this has been, we've probably talked or referenced it, maybe hinted at it throughout the history of the show.
I think we probably talked about it during like our 100th episode or
when we do behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
But like listeners, this is an ongoing thing.
Yep.
Steven's commanding voice is sometimes difficult to weed out of the other microphones. That's been one of the fun advantages of pandemic recording is not having to worry about that.
That's true.
Comes with other problems.
It does come with other problems. Yeah. Oh, it's on balance. It's better to have you here bleeding into our mics than over Discord. But when we get into the space, we'll do some test recordings. Mm-hmm. We may experiment with different microphones. Like these are the same microphones we've had for 5 years.
That's true.
They work fine. Yeah. But you know they're condenser microphones. We can get dynamic microphones. If they're a little harder, you have to stay on them.
Oh.
You can't move around as much, but they block out sound a little better.
Ooh.
We could try something like that.
Yeah.
We could, you know, we'd have to dedicate some time to it.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is this is our office, so like we can do that.
That's true. Yeah. We'll be there every day.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Fair enough. If we have an afternoon, we can give something to try.
Yeah. And I mean, it'll benefit it probably won't benefit the other people in the office as much, but like it still could benefit them. Like they can use the microphones for things, right?
Yes. So one of the things I want to do about this space is, you know, have the microphones, we can take them on and off the conference table really easily,
mm-hmm.
have a kind of a modular system so it could be used as a proper conference room so people can meet in it.
Yeah.
It can be used as a remote conference room for someone on their laptop or using the video conferencing in there, mm-hmm. Or for people to play board games or something, or to play a video game on the screen. So I want it to be flexible for lots of things, because I don't know what we're going to be doing in all these spaces, right? And I think the less set up for different use cases, the more I can imagine in advance and can justify the cost for a setting up, the better off we'll be. I want people to be able to, like, they want to do some voiceover for a video or they want to do some professional audio recording, the space should be available for them. That'd be a perk of working at the space. And I'm not sure what exactly form that would take, but it also means that we can invest in some audio equipment and for that purpose. I think what we've got is pretty good. I did get a new audio interface for us because the one that we've been using here has actually got to stay here at my home office.
Yeah.
But these are the same mics, same mic stands we've been using for 5 years.
Yeah.
Same headphones we've been using for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they're great. There's no reason to replace them.
Right.
But we might want to think about upgrades or different types of equipment. And maybe that can be, yeah, let's devote an afternoon to some experiments. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how much soundproofing we have to put on the walls or
a lot.
Back when we were recording at Glitch, an entire 15-foot high wall, 20 yeah. feet long, was glass.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a big, big challenge in that space. We're not going to have that same challenge. Mm. We might go in, it might sound dead. We have no idea. It might be perfect. It might be really bad. We don't know.
Yeah.
I've come up with a couple of thoughts as to what we might be able to do with some, there's a picture window in the clubhouse to view out into the main space, and so light can get through. Mm-hmm. That may be a source of audio reflection. The shape of the room is kind of interesting, so like where we seat Steven might be an interesting question.
We experimented with that with Glitch too.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of that, and it's like it's another same thing with like picking stuff for my desk. It's like we can't know till we're there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that'll be a fun adventure.
So yeah. What that means is schedule frequent meetings at the beginning.
Yes.
And then they can get less frequent as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that'll be nice about this space is this space will be dedicated to us and this show in principle, right? Yeah. It will have other uses, and as time goes on, it will have more uses and more people will make use of it. But to start, it's going to be where we record the show. And that's going to be really exciting because setup's going to be quick. Yeah. And it's going to be much more of a plug and play operation than it's ever been before. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten really efficient at getting the show up and running, but this is going to make things a little bit better, which means we can devote some more time to meeting and talking about the program and doing more planning and research during the day of records rather than, you know, which means even less homework for us, which is always exciting.
Or potentially additional content. I'm transitioning into the call to action.
Oh, ho, ho!
So yes, we've been, we were talking about what we can do in the office space and stuff. And there's a lot of options, a lot of new opportunities potentially.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we've been earning a little bit of income from the Patreon.
Thank you.
A little bit is the right number, and it's it's so amazing.
Yeah.
That little bit is it's incredible. People are giving us money.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's a little money, but it's so much.
Yeah, it feels really good. Yeah. So we very much appreciate you all, y'all patrons. Thank you so much. If you are interested in supporting the show monetarily, you can do so at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Donate any amount. There's no like limits or anything like that. And you get access to Patreon exclusive content. We just recorded something where Ellen asked questions about the random things in Mark's current office. Where we're in now, recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun.
Lots of stories.
It was fun to tell some of those stories.
Yeah. And also, like, if you have ideas on other things, like, you would like to see content-wise, you know, we have more options now. So, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, let us know if you are a patron. Patreon.com/nicegamesclub.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
That's it. That's it. I did the transition in. I'm not doing it out.
That's for that topic. Now for the next.
So I have this list of ideas that I've been maintaining. I'm just throwing random ideas, some small, some big, about what to do with the space.
Yeah.
And that's, I want to workshop a couple of those with you guys now.
Sure.
About what would be kind of fun.
Cool.
So the first thing I was thinking about is about doing events at the space.
Yes.
So it's not huge. But I've done some, you know, organizing on, you know, pieces of paper and graph paper, the equivalent, digital equivalent of,
yeah,
to organize what, how the space could be reconfigured. So obviously we'll have desks there, but, and those will be sort of semi-permanent, but, so there's only a limit to how much you can just move things around whenever,
right,
especially if people want to work late or whatever. But, yeah, with the minimal amount of disruption, we can seat like 30 people for an event in the space.
Okay.
It'd be kind of crowded.
Yeah.
So we have our IDGA meetings, our local IDGA meetings, and I'm on the board of the local IDGA chapter, and we've been talking a lot about how we're going to hold the various meetings we do each month. We have three of them. We have our game dev meeting, where we do presentations from the community and folks outside the community. Mm-hmm. That's our main meeting. We have Twin Cities Playtest, which started during the pandemic, which we've been doing online playtests to sort of make up for the lack of an in-person playtest.
Yeah.
But soon enough, fingers crossed, we'll be able to do in-person playtests again.
Mm-hmm.
And I want this space to be a good place for that. And then our third event is our VR and HCI meeting, which is similar to our main meeting, but with VR stuff. So the both of you know that already. That's for the benefit of listeners.
Right.
Thinking about which of those would make sense in a space like this, and which wouldn't, right? This is a conversation I've been having with the board. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it may be that none of those events make sense, or we find better locations, because mm-hmm. we've been looking for places to do in-kind donations to let us use their space that would have convenient parking and lots of room and, you know, different facilities. And so we've been navigating,
yeah,
because the space we used to use before the pandemic, the various spaces, for various reasons, those companies moved or those places closed down, or there was never, it's such a weird coincidence, actually. It has nothing to do with the pandemic. It just has, similar to how, what our situation was, where it just happened to be around the same time for different reasons.
Yeah.
We lost the use of that space.
Yeah.
But we haven't had to think about it for 2 years.
Right.
So we, as the board are thinking about that. And then on a parallel track, I'm thinking about this office space. But it's been very difficult for me because I've been trying to resist the urge to design the space for that purpose.
Sure.
Because I don't know that will make the most sense.
Yeah.
But independent of that, and the reason why I spell it all out, is because we can do other types of events that are just from the space, not partnered with an organization necessarily. Yeah. We could do movie nights. We can do game nights. Mm-hmm. We can have things that are public in a sense, that are social, that bring in folks from the game dev community that are not necessarily part of the group that rents a desk or gets access or whatever.
Yes.
And I really would love to do a little bit of that so we can bring folks in to the community who haven't had a way to like meet anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
In a way that is less of a little lower impact than, say, going to the presentation or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so a little more casual, like mixers, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about as far as my thinking has gone on that stuff.
Yeah.
What would that look like for either of you?
That is a good question. Go ahead.
I have a friend,
yeah,
who runs, I don't know why this popped into my head, but like I have a friend who runs a poetry group,
mm-hmm,
in the Twin Cities is like a workshop group, and they've been searching for a place to have their regular workshops for months and months and months. They used to have one, and then they couldn't use it because of the pandemic, and then they couldn't use it again because of other reasons, and it has just been really, really like a trials and tribulations for them.
Certainly an option for us to, depending on how the people who work there, and this is the case where we can have a ruling council where we can discuss these things, but we can offer this space to other independent groups in the arts with a pretty broad definition to use the space as long as it's the right size for them. Now, of course, those would be people we don't know necessarily other than the organizers. So there's some concern about property. I wouldn't say it's a big concern, but like an actual concern, but it, I don't want to make people nervous.
For sure. I mean, something that we have to think about and ease into. And I mean, I understand poets have a reputation for being real rowdy.
But you know, it's a space that's not theirs, and like people got stuff on their desks, and just even just knocking stuff over. You know, not you know, just the being around is the nervousness I'm sort of I'd be worried about. But you know, I would always be I would need to be there for all of those events. And that would be fine. Now the question becomes like, is that something we offer as a space, or is that something where to grow community and have cross-disciplinary things, or is it something we offer as a service? We have people pay for, and you know, making it cheap enough, you know, and I'm probably going to be there anyway, so it's not like it's a huge cost to me to do. So we could offer it relatively cheaply, I suppose.
And you could potentially adjust your hours that day if you know you have an evening event that you have to be there as like the, you know, host, space host. That could be something that you just kind of figure out. But like, there's a lot of things that you could do as, you know, in terms of like the business for renting out the space, but it's going to require some thinking around like how we deal with people we don't know coming into that space to use it.
And I feel comfortable enough that if I am there, then I'm okay. Right? Because I always know. But, and hopefully other people in the space who are renting desks, if they know that I'm there, that hopefully will be okay. That's not sustainable at scale, right? We can't do a lot of events that way because then that becomes another job for me necessarily. Now, the thing we could do is I could hire someone who would be a staff person who would do something But then I don't know that I can afford that. And I also don't know that, like in terms of security, like in terms of like feeling comfort, like I don't see that's any better than a volunteer, right? Just because they're staff,
right?
But paying them is something that, especially if it's not some like an event of theirs or something like that.
Well, it's incentive, right? To and not just incentive to, you know, do the thing, but also incentive to do it well. Make sure you're defending other people's stuff, because like if you get, you know, if this whoever this person is doesn't do a good job, they get fired. They don't get that income anymore. So, I mean, I think it makes more sense to pay whoever it is. But I feel like that, like, the way you're describing it is also, like, a future thing. Like, if we get to the point where you there are enough events where it starts to become a job for you to be at these events, that means we're doing pretty good. Theoretically, if we're making money off of these events, then you can afford, you might be able to afford somebody to, you know, do the security stuff.
Are you going to have, like, a Nest Cam or something in this space?
I don't know.
Or not
that seems wise.
I agree.
Yeah,
but I also it's not going to be a public space, at least to start.
Well, it's not to be on all the time.
Yeah. Well, the way you would run that is you'd have like a rolling buffer kind of thing. And there are services where you can actually pay for that just to be online, where you have like an account. You don't have to set up a server or anything for it.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't really be an issue for us.
Yeah,
like if during the workday,
if
or
the
whatever.
Space was open. You know,
then you'd need
that. Then I think you definitely need that for peace of mind, if no other reason. I have thought about that. I don't know. I mean, part of it is I am at this point now, I'm starting to think about controlling costs. And so I think I'm not convinced that that's necessary yet, but it seems like it might be at some point.
Depends on what opportunities you see coming down the pipeline. Whether you want to take them.
I guess that brings it back to events. Like, if you are events and it's public, and you know, like, these are a bunch of people you don't necessarily know coming into the event to do things, and they might all be proper people or whatever. You might still want that extra security in case one of my Kirby's goes missing.
Yeah.
We'll just have a camera trained on the Kirbys.
Yes.
We'll have two. One trained on the space, one on Kirbys.
Yes.
Right, not just right, in case people like yeah. take them, but also if they do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the sort of weird thing about like community events like this is you sort of know 50 to 70% of the people.
Yep.
And so like that gives you a sort of a blanket of security in a sense.
Yeah.
But like there's no technical reason why that's going to be true this month.
Yes.
You just sort of expect it to be that way.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, but anybody could show up.
Yep.
And so there's a practical, like, technically, you would need to ensure security against strangers coming in.
Right.
But practically, do you? And so it's a matter of, like, how much do you leave to expectation versus how much do you leave to, like, technical fact?
Yeah.
It is kind of tricky. I think in the case of like an event that would fill the space with like 30 odd people, mm-hmm. I think at that point, it's just the number of people.
Yeah.
Even if you know everybody.
Yeah.
Just so that if something breaks or something falls over or someone gets hurt, then there can, you know, there can be some record of some that information.
Yep.
Not necessarily a lack of trust, just sort of like an accounting of events.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So what I'm hearing from a lot of this conversation, though, is that like, were there to be events of some form, they would be either like their IGDA, in which case you might not necessarily charge for them, or maybe you do. But or you know, if there are people coming into the space, it's not just a space for people to have for free; they gotta pay.
Yeah, I think that. So in the case of like nonprofit groups, like, well, I'm on the board of IDGA, so I feel like it's not. I think I'm ethically clear to just say they can use it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm involved in that. I'm also renting the space for myself.
Yeah.
But I do want to make sure that there isn't a sense of like just me picking the things I like or whatever and then trying to charge people or whatever. But it's also not a public, it wouldn't be in the phone book. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I could be a little bit more circumspect about who I, you know. But there shouldn't be any question that if you want the space, you shouldn't have to wonder if you can get it for free or not.
Yeah.
It should be pretty clear that you should be able to self-assess. This is the kind of event I have. This is the kind of relationship I have with this community. I know that I can get this for free, or I know I have to pay for this. I don't want there to be a negotiation. I don't want there to be kind of like a sometimes this, sometimes that, because that can lead to hurt feelings. I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
But generally, outside of very specific video game events mm-hmm. that I am personally involved in managing,
yeah.
I think it would probably be something we would charge a fee for the night or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that totally makes sense. And maybe what you could do is you could have like a tiered system that both requires like a larger fee for a certain, beyond a certain number of people, but it'd be also different, like a different event contract or whatever. So
yeah,
like if you've got, if you want to host a movie night and you're going to bring 10 people and you aren't a current, like you aren't renting a desk at that space, then it's going to cost you however, you know, $15 or whatever. And you have to sign the easy form.
Right.
If you're going to be hosting 25 people for your poetry night, you know, once a month, then who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that I do want to avoid for my own sanity, this is a more logistical thing.
Yep.
Is I don't want a lot of tiers or priceless, or in the case of renting desks, I don't want a 1 month, 4 month, 1 year option. I just want a single, as much as I can manage, as much as makes sense to people. There might be a case where I have to give in on that to accommodate, you know, it might be impossible for people to work with something that's such a narrow definition.
Yeah.
But I want to have as simple a thing as possible.
Yeah.
I don't want to do day rates or weekly rates. I just don't want to manage that.
Yeah.
Sure.
If possible, and the two of you will have an opinion on this because you'll be the first of five folk customers, is I would love to be able to just do 4 month contracts, like that's the only thing.
Uh-huh.
And if possible, to pay all that in advance. But I feel like that might be a big ask from certain people. And that's really just for my bookkeeping. Like I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know how. Because that ends up being a, you know, because the rate I'm imagining is $200 a month. And that's the rate I've quoted to the two of you and to the other folks that's sort of the first class. And that's what we're sticking with to start here. You know, 4 months of that is $800. That's real money.
Yeah.
And so it's not something that is impossible for people to swing who are coming in with they're working on a remote team. They have a job that they're going to be doing there. That's kind of the type of person I'm imagining is the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to necessarily turn away people who are just like, I'm working on my own thing full time. I don't have any income.
Yeah.
I've saved up some money for it. And I'm going to spend a little bit of it on this. I want to be I don't want to turn those people away necessarily, but I also don't want to bend and break a lot of rules to accommodate a lot of it. Right. Partly because I don't want to have different tiers. I don't want to treat people differently. And I just don't want to keep complicated books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how much of, am I, how much does that, do you think will be difficult to, does that make a lot of sense?
Yeah, like, it's fine with me.
Yeah.
Oh, to pay 4 months in advance.
Yeah. Cause it's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, for like no discount, like that's just the rate, you know?
Yeah. That, I mean, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Honestly, like if you, even if you did it like monthly or 4 month pack or whatever, like, and it was always the same rate, that'd be fine with me.
Yeah.
You don't need a discount just cause you're committing to it longer. Mm-hmm. I know that's how,
it's a common incentive structure. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't want to really worry about
well,
it.
Well, exactly. And I think the reasons why apartments do that kind of stuff is because they want you to keep paying money. Yeah. So the longer you stay there, the more you're paying money.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need that. Right. So I feel like
I do want people there long term because I don't have to worry about filling desks.
Well, that's true, you know, too.
But I think 4 months is probably the shortest I could do before someone would be really like, I think people would have trouble committing to 6 months or a year if they are not certain it's going to work for them.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I can accommodate that person, but then that's everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do a separate yearly rate.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Or even a pay a year in advance, even though that would, because then I just want one product.
Right, that's more bookkeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that seems fine. I guess I was thinking like 3 months instead of 4 months.
Four months is like,
it's weird.
Yeah.
I realize it splits in three.
It's one fewer a year. Yeah.
Right.
I'll tell you, I do my accounting for my company in trimesters. Because it's one fewer a year.
Sure.
that's a big savings of time.
Okay, that's fair.
Weirdly, the second trimester ends 2 days before moving day. So I have to count up all the widget satchel sales and see if there's enough to pay out all the contributors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see about that. I may put that off for a week.
Okay. I think it's fine to do it. You know, I think it makes sense to set it at a rate 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And just make it. That's the thing. I guess I'm a little more concerned about it being like lump sum.
Yeah. I'm even as I say it, I'm like, I think people might be okay with it, but I don't think they're gonna like it.
About yeah. It. Even and, myself, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, dang, that's $800.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm also like, in terms of like, because the folks I'm going to be working with to begin with, and probably for a good while, mm-hmm. are people I know and trust.
Yeah.
I'm also okay with doing like it's a lump sum, but you pay 2 months from now. Right. Yeah. You pay in the middle of it or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's really any better.
I don't think that's it. I think it's personally, I'm thinking of it like $200 once a month feels a lot better than $800 for.
Yes. And yeah, exactly. So then it's up to me then to decide like, well, I need to have a system, mm-hmm. like an invoicing system. There's a couple of like off the shelf kind of products where you can set up kind of a QuickBooks style thing just for that, for like that kind of business.
Yeah.
I want to set up something that's as low maintenance as possible. I also don't really want to pay because there's some of these services that you can pay for, but they cost monthly. And right. like, I'm already running this razor thin.
Yeah.
And I'm already used to building a lot of things myself, but I'm like, so I really don't know what I'm going to end up with that. And I don't have a lot of time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, you give yourself as much time as you need.
Well, like, it can start out just emails and stuff for now. Yeah, like that's okay.
Just start it and then build the things that you need in order of how desperately you need them.
right. Yeah, I the more I can do in advance, the more at ease I'll be.
Yeah, that's true.
As we start. And that's a big part of what I've been trying to do. But it's just, you know, I anticipate it a lot, but you don't anticipate as much as there is. it's impossible to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So events, we talked about that,
right?
And we spun off a bunch of other things,
yeah, we did.
Which is fine. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is the clubhouse. We'll be recording there. Obviously, we talked a little bit about how that's going to be for us,
right?
But you know, we want to get other shows in there.
Yeah,
let's get other people coming in.
Well, here's the call out, I guess.
Yeah, if you're in the Twin Cities and you have a podcast, then you'd like to record it at a sort of a stable, sustainable environment. You know, send me a message. contact@noblerobot.com. Mm. You can contact the show as well, but it'll be through Noble Robot. And we don't have a rate for it yet or what it will be. It will be a one-time use, a four-hour session. You know, I've got to be there still. So if you want to record on weekends, because a lot of people who do podcasts have jobs during the week, you know, how do we set that up? Do we have, is Sunday the podcast day? And we record the show and then three other shows, you know, and then we all get to get dinner together. Like,
oh, that'd be cool.
You know, there's a lot of ways to do it, but I would like to, I think it would be good because that was a thing that helped us when we started, is there was a space to do it.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. We wouldn't have had the show without that. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to try, a lot of people try a podcast. They record a little bit. It's always harder than they think. It's never perfect. And it's hard to keep going if you don't have some of that stuff available to you to help you along.
Good infrastructure.
Yeah. And if we can provide that infrastructure, because we're building it for us.
Yeah.
But it's going to be used once every 2 weeks to record our show.
Right.
Like, I'm pitching it as a big service to the community, but also it would be a way to make money for the space.
Right.
To help pay the rent.
Yeah.
And so I want to do that, but I don't know how to approach it exactly.
Yeah. I think that the impression I'm getting with people starting podcasts, only having started one myself, is that I think a lot of the difficulty isn't part of the difficulty is the daunting task of getting a lot of the equipment and stuff, and we're making that easy for people because they just have to show up,
right,
and pay the money to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of the task, I guess, is editing it and distributing it. Those are the other two parts.
Yeah, is that a service we offer?
No, I wasn't thinking
that. I don't have the time for that.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that either. I guess I'm just saying that,
that's the other challenge.
Yeah, but, also, a lot of, I think a lot of people invest, when they're really excited to do a podcast, they invest a lot of money in all of these things that they wouldn't have to do if they went to, they just came to us.
Right. It makes it a little easier to try.
Yeah.
So that's a pitch we can make for this space. It's yes, we want you to record your episodes every week here, but also it's available for you to just rent once to try it out.
Yeah.
Do your pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, I mean, or frankly, if you're, an established podcast, this is a place, and you're just sick of doing it in your basement or whatever.
Yeah.
You could come here and try it out there.
Yeah. In fact, I would love for folks who, have found a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. Maybe this can be an easier way for you.
Yeah.
And that would be something that would be good. And something that the convenience is worth whatever we end up charging for it.
Yeah.
And it's not I don't think we'd be charging as much as a proper recording studio kind of space.
Right.
Because we don't have the sort of sound isolation or the ultimate high end equipment for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And likely the way we would have it, I mean, it's a question of do we have a computer in the clubhouse that can serve as the place to record episodes and then you get a thumb drive at the end? Mm. Or do we just have people bring in your laptop and Audacity or Audition or whatever you use, and then you plug it into our interface. And then you're responsible for all of that. That may be different speeds for different people.
Yeah.
That's a case where I think what we could do is we could offer the space for a flat rate, but then it could be used flexibly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't want to offer a big different price menu or anything for whatever. Yeah. But I don't know what people want.
So the way I'm imagining this now that we've talked about it in this way is mm-hmm. That you just charge people each time they want to use it, because people don't record podcasts. Well, I guess some people record podcasts weekly, but
this is a case where, there'd be a one-off use.
Yeah.
Or I think this is a case where I would feel very comfortable with, if someone is doing a regular podcast, to do a monthly rate that's cheaper than just each one.
Sure.
Okay. Right. But it would be a monthly rate. Yeah. I think that I'm willing to do that, because that makes a lot of sense in that particular case.
Yes.
That if it's just a one-off, there's a lot to do. It's a little bit more of a hassle to set up, and it's a little harder on me.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling we charge full price for that. And then if you do it regularly, then I think that seems perfectly fair to get some amount of discount for that, because it's regular.
There's less effort needed for the regular runs.
Yeah.
So that makes sense for charge.
And it's more guaranteed income for me. So I think that would be reasonable. I don't know what those numbers look like.
Yeah.
I don't imagine it'd be a ton, but if a desk is $200 a month and a single podcast session is $150, which seems not unreasonable to try out a podcast, that goes a long way towards my monthly budget for the space.
Yeah.
If I get one or two of those a month.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, Mark, how much was the amp that you just bought? How much was that?
It was $400.
Yeah. See, so hopefully that puts things in perspective.
Well, we have some costs associated, but we, the little Patreon money that we have now
mm-hmm.
helped me feel more comfortable with buying a new piece of equipment for the clubhouse than reusing old stuff and you know that we've been working with.
Right.
It doesn't fully pay for it.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like,
makes it easier for me to spend a little money.
Well, and so what I'm saying is, like, people, you know, hearing that $400 thing, going like, oh, this is what I need in order to start a podcast.
Yeah, that's a super good point. It might be that maybe it's $200 for a session, and it's an all day session or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's $300 or whatever. I don't know. Like, what's, you know, what would make it worth them? But then a regular, like a monthly or twice a month or whatever it is, would just be way cheaper.
Yeah.
Like that, you know what I mean? It might be a real big difference between those two things.
Right, right. So like it might be worth it.
I don't know.
Or I mean, like, ideally, I guess you would price it in a way that would make it worth it for people.
Ultimately, so because it would take some of my time, I'd want to price it a little bit better than just trying to make up some more of the rent. But that's the main goal, is just so I can get above water on the rent for the space. But the more of my time it takes up, the less worth that it is to me.
Yeah, that's right.
I suppose. But yeah, we can just, you know, we're putting the call out here. If you're local and you've got a show and you're interested, let me know. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably a small, very small set of audience that applies to. So we're probably not going to get a ton of responses. But if it's you, please get in touch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I need to find avenues to see who would be interested in doing that.
Yeah.
And how that might work and how that can be sustainable for the people who want to do it, but also from me.
Well, we just released that Star Trek podcast thing, right? So, yeah. Like, and they probably know people.
I should just get in touch with other hosts around and see, you know, just friends of friends, people who know people who know people.
Yeah.
And see, just put the word out that there's a space now that you can record a show at.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, but also, we're resourceful. I believe a lot of people are resourceful. I suspect we'll have a lot of people who say, like, no, I figured something out.
Yeah.
You know?
True too.
So I'm not counting on it being a boon business, but I think that for a certain type of person, it will be really cool. Yeah. And I think we can offer a little bit of that community of the space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to record your show Thursday night, you know, there'll be people to hang out with, you know, when you do your show.
Right.
Like, there's some value to that. Yeah. And there's, you know, and if you're in a field that's adjacent to games and tech, then maybe there could be some cross-pollinization. You can meet new people. And so mm-hmm. there's some value to that. Just like getting out of the house to work.
Yeah.
Getting out of the house to do anything.
Yeah.
Has some additional value.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we're running out of time for this episode, but there's just so many, like, things about the space that I'm still we really didn't got to so little of it.
I don't know. I mean, I think you want to get to it, and I'm really of the mindset it's like, well, let's see where it goes.
It'll just come when it comes.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, a lot of the answers I feel like I gave you were like, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll
to be happens. Fair, we're not the one, you know, fronting the bill.
That's very true.
Well, you know, this has helped me a lot because one of the things I've been trying to, like, the more I can figure out, insofar that I can figure out, in advance, the more prepared I will be to act on those things.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's true. But I think you've given me a different perspective, which I think I haven't considered enough, which is just like, there's time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That this will come.
Yes.
That once we move in, there'll be 100 things to do and you won't have time to think about anything else. And then once it settles down, you'll have time to think about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming around to the idea that I will not be as advantaged having thought about it ahead of time. As maybe I was thinking up to now.
You might feel better if you have it all thought out ahead of time, but then you might not get to those things because you might discover that there are more important things that came up and you have to deal with that.
Just like when you do game design, like, you, there's some things you want to come up in advance.
Yeah.
And other things you just need to, like, wait until the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
All comes back to playtesting.
Space testing.
Space testing.
Right.
Space testing. You got to space test it. You got to play test your space. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. When listeners hear this, I'm so nervous now. I'm like, oh man, it's coming up so soon. Listeners, as you hear these words, we are in the space, and it's going great, I hope.
It is.
Well, now you jinxed it.
Oh, nuts. All right, that's our show. Check out our website, nicegames.club, for show notes and links to resources on today's topics. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode and on the show overall. You can do that, nicegames.club/feedback. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter, @nicegamesclub, where Dale tweets about game dev resources and how boats work.
How do they
work? You'll find out on our Twitter.
Or you can email us, contact@nicegames.club. Want to support the show? There are so many ways. Help us build out this new space. by supporting us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/nicegamesclub. You can also give us a review in your favorite podcast app, tell your friends about your favorite episode, and you can join the conversation with other listeners on Discord by visiting nicegames.club/discord. So, until we start again from a whole new space, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
We'll put the music there.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.